¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Nick Sciarra this morning here on ESPN975. What's up, boys? Lance, you in studio?
In studio.
Good morning.
Going to be having the video. We're doing our Sports Map video today.
Yep.
So we'll do this and do Sports Map, and then I talked to, on my podcast, I'm talking to Lance McCullers, so we'll do some of the same things you did with Carlos Correa, I would imagine Eric Layton and I will do with Lance McCullers. Although, we'll see if he has anything new. He had a phone call yesterday with the Players Association, so you know, we'll see how that's going and if he can even comment on it.
Yeah, it looks like it is getting closer and closer. New York and Texas have both said, come on, let's open up our buildings. The Rockets were back at it. Tillman Fertitta was at the White House yesterday. He made a Hong Kong joke. I don't know if you saw that.
That's bold.
Yeah. He says, yeah, you know, it's funny you brought up China, he told the president, I guess. Yeah, I should have realized it was going to be a bad year for China when my general manager tweeted out freedom for Hong Kong. That started my year with China. I'm still trying to work that out. Yeah, I guess you're still trying to. I don't know. Is China still mad at the NBA? Is it still? I don't know. Who gives a rat's ass?
I feel like everything got. People aren't. They're still going to be mad at the Astros. It'll just take a little longer for them to get out there. Their anger, they're not going to be able to boo in person. They'll have to boo their TV screens, whatever the case may be. But it's funny, yesterday on my podcast, I had Michael Kelly on, who, you know, is Doug Stamper from House of Cards. He's in Jack Ryan right now.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and he is. Do you watch Jack Ryan?
I do.
Okay, so is he good in that too?
Yeah, he's real good. Yeah,
so
he's an excellent actor.
Yeah, I love, and he is the best dude, man. I'm telling you, he is awesome. And he's a huge sports fan. He's a huge Braves fan, a huge Falcons fan. He's from Atlanta. And we were talking about
How'd you get him on?
Eric Layton and him. He and Eric Layton did Generation Kill. He's good friends with Eric.
Oh, sweet.
They're really good friends. And this guy is so much. He is a dude. Like, he's just a dude. Just a real cool guy to talk to. And he was you know, we were talking about the Braves and whether or not they were a dynasty when they won. He says, Lance, they won 14 division titles in a row. He said, yeah, I think so. He says, it's just that all those times that we lost, he said, we were supposed to lose. He said, people forget that. But really only 2 times were they favored. Once we won and then once we lost. He said, other than that, we didn't have the better team. That was just the truth. And I asked him who his favorite of the big three Braves pitchers, who his favorite was, and he said, and he goes, you know, it's funny because everyone mentions Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox. He said, but Steve Avery, when he was on his game, was just a dominant pitcher too, and he's what made the Braves a really, really tough team. And that, it got me to thinking, man, when you have the fourth starter, it really is true. When you have a fourth starter who's good, that is such a kick in your favor throughout the year, like throughout the year and sometimes in the postseason, depending on how it goes.
Yeah.
He talked about having his guts ripped open when the Falcons lost the Super Bowl and how he almost got in a fist fight with a Patriots fan who kept prodding at him in the fourth quarter. He's like, dude, I almost laid him out. You know, and he knows like martial arts too. He's He's like, I held myself back. But one of the things he talked about is how he loved the Astros. He thought the Astros were so much fun and such a great team to root for and easy to like. And he said, I just don't feel that way anymore. And he said, his son loved the Astros, really liked, other than the Braves, the Astros were his team. And he said, he's just off the Astros. And he just said, I can't get my head around when you talk to kids, like how are kids going to deal with, Snacks is off the Astros completely. He won't even wear an Astros. He said, don't even put me on the Astros team in post-Oak Little League. He goes, I don't even want to be on the Astros. He's so pissed off about it. And I think there is going to be he made the comment on our podcast to Eric that he thought the Astros kind of got away with, the players got away without punishment. And Eric made the same comment that I think all of us realize is, your reputation is tarnished. As players, the players are going to have a long-lasting punishment.
So I saw Jerry Hunsaker yesterday.
Where did you see him?
I saw him out at Carlton Woods. He's a member out of Carlton Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. Somebody said, "Oh, Mr. Hunsaker needs a glove," and I was like, "Mr. Hunsaker." I looked over. There's Jerry. I came up and went, "Hey, what's going on?" And we shook hands. We shouldn't have shaken hands. And I said, "What do you do? What are you doing?" He's still with the Dodgers. He's a consultant.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, why don't you come on the show?" He said, "Well, I don't know if that'd be." I said, "Well, I'd love to get a Dodger perspective of this whole thing." And he just made a joke. "I'm cheating." Ba 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 ba. I said, "Jerry, if you'd have cheated, we could all have rings. I was on the post-game show. I could have had a ring, Jerry, if you'd have just cheated a little bit." And he was like, "The only thing that disappoints me," goes, "is that the players," he said, "I know," he said, "but the players should have gotten something. The players should have caught something." And
is he saying that as a front office guy because the front office got clipped and he thinks the players got away scot-free?
Maybe because he's a general manager. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was it. But he said, they're the ones that did it, though. They're the ones that benefited. They're the ones that did it. And he makes a point. And he said, "But I understand it. You're not going to get anybody to talk unless you got immunity and you found out the whole truth." He said, "But it was really, really, it's really a shame that those guys, they were the ones that did it." And to me, too, and I said this before, is that I just can't believe that there was nobody, not one of those guys stood up and said, "No, this is wrong. Stop." Now, not an Altuve. And the Altuve benefited, he thought, 2.9% or whatever.
Right.
This the lowest of all the guys.
Yeah.
That you hear the banging for.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Altuve's a captain. He's a leader. They all look up to him. He was the best. He's the best player on the team. At no point, and he's an honest little dude, and hardworking, and he did everything he did to get there. And he didn't say, no, we're not doing this, And that's the disappointing part to me. And that was for Jerry, too. He said, I can't believe that we're overdoing it of what it means in baseball, all the cheating that's gone on and all of that. Forget all that. Put all that aside. But, they knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew. And yet not one guy said, "This is wrong. We got to stop this." That they would have that mentality that it was, that nobody had the integrity to stand up.
Tell Jerry to shut his dirty mouth?
I didn't tell him that. I said, "You want to come on the show?" And he said, "Nah, not I'm with the Dodgers." And
what did you tell? Did you say, "Well, then shut the fuck up then, okay? Unless you know all the facts." Did you go Carlos Correa on him? Did you say, "Oh, in that case, shut the fuck up unless you have all the facts"? That's what you should have said.
No.
Carlos Correa said, Jerry?
Yeah, he didn't. That's not what it was about.
And he could have pulled out your phone and played it for him.
That wasn't what it was about, though. That wasn't. Carlos Correa might agree. We should have gotten something. We should have gotten some penalty. There should have been some penalties for the players. He might agree with that right now.
Why?
Because they're the ones that did it. They're the ones that did it.
Why would Carlos agree with that?
Because, well, he under. Listen. He knows they all walked away. AJ took the brunt of it. Luno took it, and Cora and Beltran. Those are the guys, the only ones that paid. And the ones who did it walked, skated. They all know that they got away with it.
Right.
They do. And oh well, they got away with it. But here's the deal. I'm pretty sure they all know the Red Sox got away with it, too. And I know that the Dodgers, for years, have gotten away. And the Yankees have gotten away.
No one else did it. It's just the Astros, and you know that.
No. They're not the only ones that did it.
Did you tell Jerry? You know the Dodgers get away with it, too.
You know the Dodgers are a bunch of, 80% of your players do steroids, Jerry.
You should have put that on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he wasn't irate or anything. He was just like, hey, it sucked. And he would have had a ring. If the Astros didn't cheat, he would have had a ring.
What Michael Kelly said, I know it to be true because I got a son who's like bailed on the Astros, who's so pissed off because integrity matters to him. He's still young, so he's into integrity. And I try not to dissuade him. I'll let the world just eventually wreck his worldview. But what he said is what really makes me sad is that the Astros were for sure the most we know in Houston we're always going to love the Astros, and we think the Astros have gotten they got their fair share. They get too much when it comes to 19, and the buzzers are all ridiculous. That stuff's ridiculous. However, what I really loved about the team is that it was impossible not to like them. They were such a – and I mean anywhere. The Dodgers? You're going to like the Dodgers? If you weren't a Dodgers fan in 2017 – You wanted the Astros to win. There was no question. They had the likable team. They were the group of fun guys. They were the family, close-knit guys. And that was around the country. You had a sense that that was the case. Everybody I talked to kind of had a good feeling about the Astros. And now it's gone the other way. And talking to Michael Kelly, who's a big sports fan, I got that sense with him as he said, I really like them. Like, I really like what they stood for and just everything about their vibe and the way that they played the game. He said, this just really, really disappointed me. And it was, it's just coming in contact with it. I know it to be true. I know people are going to feel that way. But just coming in contact with it, I can't really say anything. I mean, I get it. I understand it. And Eric Layden is an Astros fan also. He understood it too, and he said he went from being very defensive about it early on that everyone cheats, to now he's come to a realization that, we got to own it as the team and the fans have to own the fact that the Astros did something they shouldn't have done. And we can say whatever we want to, but there's really not going to be any getting around the tarnish of 17. We can love it as much as we want, but it's going to be impossible on the outside for people to have the same amount of respect for it. And that's too bad because I think that was a really good team. I think 18 was a good team. 19 was a good team. And I'm hoping 20 is a good team. I still can't wait for baseball to get started. We can talk about whether or not it's better for a short season. It doesn't matter as much or whatever, but I just want to, the only way the Astros are going to distance themselves from this is just play some baseball. Just keep playing, do well. And then, let the cards fall where they may, the chips fall where they may.
All right, let's get some insurance in here. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to call us, or at Lance Zierlein, at John Granato. What's yours, Nick? What's your Twitter?
At the producer Nick.
At the producer Nick, if you want to throw it at him as well. 713 on ESPN, 97.5.
I'm going to tell you something right now. My friends over at TGS Insurance, they understand that now is a time where a lot of people need to find more money. And it's tough, and it's going to get even tougher. And you need to find ways that you can cut back. But here's something for you. How about you just cut back on how much you're paying for your homeowner's insurance, but you keep A-rated insurance coverage? You got to have insurance coverage. You got to have homeowner's insurance, and you have to have homeowner's insurance that can help you through the inclement weather that we face. But here's the great thing. With TGS Insurance, you can text the word money to them at 232323. You'll get a response back asking for your address. You send it, and within 15 seconds, you can get a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. And it's such a great way for you to look into an aggregated TGS Insurance aggregates A-rated insurance companies, ones who do the underwriting many times for the larger companies, and you've got a chance to go direct to them without any additional fees. And what you're going to find is that the average savings is almost $900 annually. So why would you not go somewhere that can save you that kind of money and still give you great homeowners insurance? Keep more of your money back in your pocket with TGSinsurance.com. Text MONEY to 232323.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, Nick. I'm sending you Stacey Lewis's number. She's going to be on the show at 10 o'clock with us here on ESPN 97.5. We are we're going to help raise money for the food bank. Actually, she's doing it along with Corby Robertson. The Spirit. Have you ever played up at Whispering Pines, Lance?
That sounds familiar. Where is it?
Way up in Trinity.
Nope.
Yeah, it's up 59. It's a good hour and a half away, but it's always ranked one or two as far as the best courses in Texas. And beautiful, beautiful facility, and they're raising money. Corby Robertson was one of the founders out there, and his dad was. Or anyway,
wow! I just saw. I looked it up. I looked it up. Whispering Pines on. I Googled it, and it's got a 3.5 stars. Whispering Pines Ranch apartment complex in the Woodlands. So
that's not it.
Oh, okay.
That's Whispering Pines Ranch is not it. Apartments, the elementary, none of that. I'm on that. It's the Spirit.
Ooh, 2.3. That's in Louisiana. Is it in Lake Charles?
It is not in Lake Charles.
He's getting everything I'm getting. That's exactly
what north.
That's
okay.
What I'm getting to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you see Whispering Pines Golf Club?
Oh yeah, that's better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That looks good. It's better than those apartments.
Right. Take a look at it. Is just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
That's nice.
And anyway, Stacy is a professional golfer. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know, Stacy.
She's from the Woodlands. She's actually married to the golf coach at University of Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. And
golfers kind of stay together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, yeah, you got to. I think they do because it's like a.
It really does feel like that. Like it's one of the ones where. You know, you hear about, oh, yeah, this golfer married that golfer. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. What do you want to do for fun? I guess we could go golf. What do you want to do for business? I guess golf. I mean, it's kind of what you do. You might as well like what you do.
Right.
Like what your husband does. Like what your wife does.
Right. Golf people kind of, they do. They stay together.
Of course, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Like, would you want
to? I want to get away from, I got to get away from my wife. What are you doing, honey? I'm going to play some golf. Oh, I'll come with you because I also golf.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't always have to play together.
I know, but that's how she can stay. She can be like, oh, I'm golfing too. I'm going to also golf. And then you're trying to go play poker. What if that happens to you, John? Wendy can't go golf with you. She's not going to golf. You have to, but you could use, what if a guy wants to go play poker and he says, I'm going to go play golf. And she says, oh, I'll grab my clubs too and my soft spikes because I also do golfing things.
Well, actually, I did that yesterday. I went and golfed and my wife said, well, I'm going to go out to dinner with her friend. And I said, well, then I am heading over to Prime. And I had one of the worst beats of my life.
Right?
Yeah. I flopped a set of kings and all in, huge pot. And the dude, I mean, pre-flop, it's pretty hefty. He goes in with 4-5 offsuit and catches a straight.
Ooh. Wow.
When I flopped a set of kings. Oh. And that, my friends, is how you leave the table and go home.
Nick, you play poker?
I do. Hold 'em.
That's not a good... What John just talked about.
That's not nice.
A set of kings feels powerful.
No, it's and I'm pre-flop. I'm shoving. There was a lot of money in that pot. A lot of money.
That doesn't sound like a tournament.
Drive home sucks.
That sounds like a cash game.
Yeah. It was a big cash game. And Daddy went home with nothing in his pockets.
Oh.
And I could not have been more pissed. And that happens, though. That's what happens sometimes. But it was a great day anyway. But Prime is open, and we're going to see tournaments are going to start up pretty soon here. So for all of you, I mean, it was all there. Listen, there's seven to a table. Everybody's pretty much spread out. They're separating the tables. They've got tarps over in between, tables, so they're not all next to each other like you're crowded. I mean, it's every other table. So I felt really safe. There's all kinds of hand sanitizers. The dealers are wearing masks, and people at the tables are wearing masks. It's all good.
Is it a heckler getting out of there?
Why? What do you mean?
Oh, wait. No, it's one way. Wait.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, no.
Well, I won't.
You go in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one way going towards Prime.
Yeah.
But I was so pissed off, I went.
Well, there's no other. Oh, but you'd have to go through the neighborhood to be able to get out of there, I guess, theoretically.
Yeah. It's no big deal. You go down to the south side, take a left, and get to Voss. It's no big deal. But, that's going to be torn up for a while. That's really bad right there.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of construction there to get the pipes underneath. There's a huge amount of, there's a big reservoir or something like that that's underneath that whole area that keeps the neighborhood from flooding. Like, it's a godsend because the neighborhood doesn't flood, but I think there's some new pipes that are needed. And so I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, because we also have a ton of just, all of a sudden you'll just be driving down the neighborhood and there's water just shooting up from a sidewalk because those old cast iron pipes are all just, once they're done, they're done. And like, oh, look, here's this water that's going to be running from the street, just into the street for about the next 3 days until they fix it.
Do you want to hear a nice water story running into the street?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yesterday I got a call from, guess who? Frankie. She's at her house.
She was minus 160. Why didn't you let me at least put the odds out there?
Oh, Dad, it's kind of a funny story. So the
never
hose
good that way.
The hose is somehow wrapped around my tire. And I don't know how that happened, but it's wrapped around my tire. So I pull out of the driveway and I yank it and it breaks the pipe, and there's water shooting all over. I was like, "Oh, that is a funny. That you know what, Frankie, you're like a sitcom." It's just a sitcom.
Oh,
and she
no.
was like, yeah. So I had to call the police and then a plumber. And I was like, what? What?
Where did this happen?
This happened in Baton Rouge, at her house in Baton Rouge.
Is she? So she's at a house?
Yeah, she lives in a house. She was a senior.
Oh, no. Yeah. So they had to turn off the water, obviously, get to the water.
So a plumber came out, and I said, so did you pay the plumber? Well...
That's the funny part.
I needed to call. That's what I was. I was like, Frankie, call your mother.
Yeah, that's a Wendy call.
Yeah, and guess what?
You get JT calls. She gets
call
Wendy calls.
No. I get the girl. She gets the boy.
What?
The boy,
why?
No.
You've got the worst part of this whole.
No.
Why do you
no,
take so much of the
no
worst of it?
Bleep. No.
At
bleep.
Some point, you got to. I mean, my God, it's like you're Bill O'Brien just giving everything away. You're the worst negotiator. Wendy's like, you'll pay the bills. You get Frankie. Like, okay.
Well,
I'm Bill O'Brien.
Worry. Don't worry, Wendy. That deal Wendy got. Don't worry, she's got her bills. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, so does Laramie Tunsil, for example. There's a picture of Laramie Tunsil being.
That's not Laramie Tunsil.
Dude,
Photoshop.
It's on his Instagram page. Just type in Laramie Tunsil Instagram. There's several like it. That's probably the most egregious picture. Laramie Tunsil is a fashionista. It's true. It's 100% true. Go to his Instagram page and you can see for yourself. It's rare to see. I can tell you this. I am in an offensive line tech string, a group with the guys from the Joe Moore Awards. And, these are guys who are former offensive linemen and coaches and players and guys who you hear on Mike and Trey. And anyway, whenever there's any offensive lineman who is dressed like Russell Westbrook or thinks he's a wide receiver, a picture pops up in the text string like, we lost another one. This is just heartbreaking. And so I posted the Laramie Tunsil picture, and it was met with some disdain. I can tell you that they're not – but almost disdain. They're like, yeah, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of offensive linemen who are like this now, who just they just think they're wide receivers and cornerbacks.
That is not Larry. That was photoshopped.
No, it's not. You can go find his other ones too, where he's walking around the corner and he's got his own photographer taking pictures.
Yeah, it looks like the red carpet at the Toyota Center a little bit, like his Instagram page. Yeah. It kind of looks like the red carpet at the Toyota Center when the Rockets. I guess they were doing that.
You know what? I thought it was photoshopped, and when somebody sent that tweeted that to you yesterday,
yeah,
and you go, oh no. And I was like,
no,
I was
not a good feeling to know that's your offensive lineman. It was tweeted to you, too.
Yeah, I know. And I said, no, I said, that's a good Photoshop. But then I saw We Are Texans in the back, and I was like, no.
Yes.
That's not real.
Yes.
What?
Laremy Tunsil
that's
with his
the guy
Gucci
we just
socks.
Gave $66 million
to? Yes.
He's to got protect our quarterback?
Gucci man purse, handheld clutch, his. Whatever that shirt is, just unbuttoned down to like the sixth button.
So big dudes fashion, can wear the skinny jeans. That's okay now.
I mean, I feel like they're not skinny jeans except to how big guys turn them into skinny jeans.
Like
you know
slim
what I mean?
Fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they just turn into skinny
jeans. They weren't before you put them on.
They don't say that somewhere on the stitching. They just become skinny jeans.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, there's
Nick,
something.
You got to call John Clay.
See, there's something about, and I guess maybe that's how Jordan was back in the day. Jordan just wore suits. Like, suits were the thing. And the oversized suits are really, every time I see him, John, every time and last, all those guys, I'm like, God, I forgot about the big box suits, like tailored up.
With the style in 92, 3, 5, 8, it was like, holy crap, look at the size of that suit.
I know.
And the long jackets all the way down almost to the knees. I mean, it was unbelievable. We were just laughing.
Jordan's like, never been stylish. I see, that's the thing. It's funny because he's got the shoe brand that single-handedly has redefined and changed sports branding for all of eternity. And yet he wears the big giant jeans. Like, that's just his look. That's his look is the big pants, the big, he likes the oversized. He can't get out of that. And you know, it's funny. I was watching a comedian, the other day who said, that's just how men are. Once they get married, whenever the year is you get married, that's your style. For the rest of your life, like, all right, 83, boom, all the way through. I'm 96, bang, all the way through the rest of your life. You're going to dress like you're whatever you were when you were married. Your fashion stops there. And I feel like that might be true with Jordan.
Not if you're married to my wife.
Well, no, she keeps you updated, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's everything. That's too big. Take that off. We got to go. She is the number one client for the – what's the person that – adjust your clothes. What are they called?
Clothier? A tailor?
Yeah, tailor.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Everything I own is in there.
Oh, that's cheap, though. They're not expensive at all. Gosh. I've had to have some clothes tailored before, some suits. I'm excuse me? And then the NFL the very next
year. Might as well just buy a new one.
I know. The NFL the very next year is like, all right, we're done with suits at this. So we're going to go casual. Casual's now the look on the digital side. Like, I just bought them. I don't wear suits to church.
Yeah. All right, 731 ESPN 97.5. We got John Clay Wolf. Okay. No answer from John Clay Wolf. That's okay. Because I can tell you about John Clay Wolf. I can tell you that the car market is coming. I can tell you that he's paying more now for the vehicles. He said, man, it is totally sweet. He said, look, if you are looking for the best way to get out of that car, you need to get a new car, you want to get as much as you possibly can. Obviously, the reason that you're selling that car is because you need money. Is because, well, that car was too much and I got to get another one. Or you just want to sell. It doesn't matter. Get the most you can for your car. That's the deal. That's what you want to do. And you can still do it through the dealership. Well, I want to, you know, the taxes and everything. John Clay Wolf will do that deal through the dealership. That's not a problem. That is not a problem. But if you're looking for the most that you'll get for your vehicle. That's John Clay Wolf. I mean, he says, listen, if I can't beat CarMax, I'm going to send you $100. I got it, okay? So you get a legitimate offer from CarMax, and if he doesn't beat it, he is going to send you $100. How about that? All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're going to guarantee yourself the most money for your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I mentioned Stacey Lewis. We'll talk some golf with her, see what she thought of the charity tournament, and if she's going to watch Tiger. Are you going to watch Tiger and Phil?
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah. And
is there going to be a line on it?
Oh, yeah, there will be.
Well, there you go.
Of course there will be a line on it.
Well, there you go.
There's a line on anything that they can put a line on.
I watched Freiburg versus, I can't even remember who, the side I had. I can't remember who that was on. Yeah, there was a number on it. So, yes. You throw a number on it, it's potentially on the board for me to watch now.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday I was working on so the Touchdown Club, I'm on the board of the Touchdown Club, and we can't have lunches. You know how we bring the coaches in, you know, not so much Herman, but we used to do Texas A&M every year. I remember when – I'm emceeing it, and Mac Brown was on through video, and he was on the line. And remember this?
Were you there? I was there. Yeah, yes, obviously. Yeah. I was there getting ready to do Mac Brown on a mobile.
And I told some Texas joke. I don't know what it was. And he was not too pleased with it. And he was like, "That's real funny. You're a real funny guy over there."
Maybe don't stop doing your radio job, John.
Yeah,
I would start hosting the banquet circuits if I were you. You're not very talented.
You're not very good.
You're not funny. You're not talented. You're a lot like the Texas A&M Aggies.
So anyway, we can't do those now. Because you just can't get up, and it's just so hard. I'm telling you, I don't know how right now charities are doing it. Because I remember in 2007, I was still doing my golf tournament for cerebral palsy, and when the market crashed and we had our recession, it was just horrible. And they said, "Oh my God, it was like the worst year for them," and they. You know, and they take care of kids, and they've got all these things that they got to do and camps for these kids that they do every year, and the money just wasn't coming in, and they were like, "Holy crap, this is just horrible." 9/11 as well in 2001, they were like, "Oh my goodness, this is terrible for the charities," and they barely survived. They barely got through that. I can't even imagine what they're doing now. Although I think the government is helping a lot. For charities and keeping them alive and doing stuff, but that's one of the things I think that is really downplayed here is what's going on with the charities. We have, as a Touchdown Club, we give out scholarships, we build weight rooms for schools, and you know, and it's all to do with football. So we try to help out, you know, young athletes here that they go to schools that don't have weight rooms, and so we build them for them and we doing stuff anyway. So we can't have anybody. Come and do these lunches because nobody can come. Nobody can go to the lunches and whatnot. So I was going to do I'm doing a virtual thing. So I called, I said, Dana, Leach. I texted Dana and Leach and Cliff. And how would that be for a virtual roundtable and hosting that? That'd be pretty cool. Learning about, you know, their early days of Texas Tech and right. Let them explain Air Raid and, you know. Pretty cool, and Dana and Leach said, yeah, but yesterday Cliff said, I'm going to pass on it. And I was like, oh, man, come on, Cliff. Come on, bro. You can do it. And anyway, he was like, nah, I just got to focus this year on, I can't be doing anything. I got so much to do. And I was like, I get it. No problem. Anyway, so I got to get another guy. Who should I get with Dana and Leach?
You know who would be great, actually? Do you know who Chris Brown is? He's not a coach, but he's Smart Football.
No.
On Twitter. So Smart Football, Chris Brown, he has studied that all, they know who he is. Both those coaches will know who he is. He is a writer who has studied the air raid left, right, and in between, and knows. I mean, he's written for a lot of different, a couple different websites. I think he was on with ESPN for a while as a writer, and he has studied that thing inside and out. Has gone to all the coaching clinics. Is very, very highly respected and well regarded. He's kind of an interesting story. His parents own. They're big at the Kentucky Derby too. Like his family owns thoroughbred racehorses, and he might be an interesting guy because he is a real authority on the air raid offense, believe it or not. And he's a guy who is, I don't know that he's ever coached, but he's considered one of the foremost authorities on it. Like he's basically a historian of X's and O's left and right on a lot of that stuff. He'd be an interesting one. Be great to get Norm. Well, not no. Yeah, Norm Chow. I've seen speak on it. I watched somebody speak on it. I think it. Nah, it wasn't. Maybe it was Norm Chow. My dad's coaching clinic, and because my dad obviously he hosts coaching clinic for high school coaches, and he's done a lot of different air raid stuff. You know, wide receiver combinations. You know what the coaching. I mean, what the receiver combinations are going to be. The three or four primary route combinations that you have, and I don't know. Let me think about it. That would be, I mean, if you got Dana and you got
you know who Leach suggested was Graham Harrell.
Oh, Graham would be great at USC.
Yeah.
Graham would be fantastic. He's an up-and-comer. He'll be an NFL coach and NFL assistant coach in no time. USC doesn't want to hear that, but.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll try. We'll get. I don't know him, so I'm gonna, but that'll be great. That'd be worth, you know what, and you get. And, you know, we're going to ask for, you know, fundraising. And, well, while we're doing it, hey, will you donate and stuff like that?
If Leach is doing it and Dana's doing it, I would guess Graham Harrell would do
Graham
it.
Graham will do it.
A
yeah.
Zoom?
I was surprised Cliff said no with those two doing it.
A Zoom press conference? Why, I mean, a Zoom conference? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'd take an hour, you know?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No. You're sitting at home. It's not like you have to travel, like you're doing anything. That's all.
Yeah, it's super easy now.
Yeah, real easy. You know what? I'm wondering if this isn't going to be the future of how to do it.
Yeah, it probably is.
You know?
Matter of fact, now that you're saying it, I need to reach out to my parents about the coaching clinic this year and being prepared to do it through Zoom.
Maybe we'll do an offensive line one.
Yeah, Larry's around.
You know, you'll get 200-400 people on there watching and these guys talking about stuff.
And it can raise money?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, while you're watching, you donate. That'll be, you know, we'll have a text line that you can donate to. And, you know, that's, you know what? That's probably the future. It's probably the future. His coaches wouldn't they much rather do that than travel to wherever, a lunch?
That's the thing right now is, you know, I hate to say it, but I know that the basketball players, for example, have been told, from what I understand, they've been told whenever we come back, you know, whenever it's time to come back, if you can, just drive. There's no reason to fly yet. If we're going to try to just, since that's considered one of the scarier places is the airports, and rightfully so or not, you know, it's just there's so much traffic in and out. You have the concern about the air in the plane and the lack of circulation and stuff like that. I know they've been told, just drive back if you can whenever we get started. So if that's going to be the case, yeah, I think more and more of the coaches and stuff like that. I mean, now once the team is together and you can charter planes, I think that takes all – like you've been on – I've never been on a charter plane, John. What's that like? What's the process like?
What do you mean, what's the process
like? Well, I mean, where do you go? Do you go to a – just tell me what it was like when you used to fly with the Texans. Where do you drive? Where do you park? Where do you go?
Oh. Well, we just drove to the facility, all got on buses, and you go to the airport, but you don't go through all that. You actually just go to it's where you fly out private. And
where is it? Is it what?
At the airport.
Intercontinental or
Intercontinental.
It is?
Yep.
It's just a separate space.
Yeah, just a separate place where you get on. Yeah.
You're not clearing security at all?
You have your own security.
Oh, okay.
That you do, as soon as you get off the bus, with the team. You go through, and they're outside, and you just get checked, and they look through your bag, and then you walk up the stairs to the plane.
And that's it. The plane is they just have steps up to the bigger. It's a bigger plane. It's like a regular plane, right?
No, sometimes it depends on the planes. That was one of the concerns. There's a team that is probably going to be an NFL. Oh, the Giants. The Giants are asking Texas A&M. They've got a trip to the Rams and then the Cowboys. And instead of going, they've asked Texas A&M if they can come to their facility in between those games and practice there and stay there. And then go to Dallas. For whatever reason, they're going to do that. I don't know why. But the only concern was that their huge plane wouldn't be able to land at College Station. So they might have to take two planes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. My dad was with Arizona, he said they would do that if they had a trip out east. They would stay and practice at, you know, they'd stay in if they had a second game. They would stay on the East Coast somewhere and practice at a college facility if they could, a second practice field or whatever. They did that one time. Not often, but they did it. No, it's when they were going to fly to London. That's what it was. They wanted to stay on the East Coast for the next two or three days at a school before they flew off to London or whatever it was for that very purpose because they were Arizona. And they didn't want to go back across the country.
Right. It seems like it's a lot more expense and hassle than just going back home and flying out the next week.
Lamont says, look at John, big time on the charter planes. Well, he worked for the Texans.
I was on the Texans plane. What do you want, Lamont? Did you want me to walk there? Did you want me to walk to the game to the other stadiums? Is that what you wanted?
You still had middle seats, so it's not like you were really big-timing.
Yeah, I was between Andre and Mark Vandermeer every trip. I wasn't the big shot. Every trip, I got the middle seat, Lamont. 7:45, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dude, I just retweeted. I don't know who sent it, honestly. But they have put NBA throwback unis on NFL football uniforms.
What?
So Russell Wilson is wearing a Sonics jersey and helmet. Von Miller has a Nuggets, old school Nuggets football uniform on. Kyler's wearing a Suns. And Deshaun's wearing Rockets pajamas.
Oh, and gross.
I know. But it's the first time that it looks cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who did this?
I don't know, but look at the Rockets. Isn't it neat?
Hold on a second.
The red helmet with the... it actually is a pretty damn good idea.
Wow, the red with the... Man, if they could just get... Well, they're probably doing it because it's the Texans' colors.
But they didn't do that with the Nuggets. They just did the Nuggets.
I know, but they could do that with... But they could do that with the Texans.
But doesn't that look cool?
Yeah. Dude, this does look cool.
That is totally sweet.
But there's
sweet.
No reason to do it. You know what I mean? Like, why would you be pumping up your team in another sport? But it does look pretty badass. So.
I mean.
Which do you like the best? I kind of like the Nuggets.
I like the Rockets the best. I love that helmet.
Man, you like the pajama. The helmet, the red helmet is nice.
It's totally sweet.
Yeah, check out John's. Check out John's Twitter feed at John Granato, and it's Pick Six. Does it? Make sure you check that out because it's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Russell Wilson looks pretty cool too. The Sonics, the old school.
I can't believe
Sonics.
How good the Photoshop crews are now. It's just astonishing.
I mean, they look at what they did with Laramie Tunsil.
That was real. He actually wore that.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Yeah.
Who do you think Laramie would rather hang out with? James Harden or another offensive lineman?
Laramie would much rather hang out with James. Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
So they could go shopping together.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he doesn't have NBA money.
No, but, well, 66 ain't bad.
Yeah, it's all right. James Harden, he just throws $66 million out of his pocket on the ground and tells somebody, get it.
Hey, pick that up for me, will you?
Pick that up for me. I just dropped $4
million. Yeah.
Mr. Harden, I think you just dropped a $4 million on the ground. Throw it in the trash.
I don't need it anymore.
What are you saying, Nick?
I'm not digging the pajama jersey. They should have went red on red.
Yeah, I would have. I like the helmet.
I like the helmet a lot.
I like the helmet. I don't love the stripes.
Yeah.
I never did. I never
will. Nope. It was the worst uniform in all the sports.
Yeah, it was so heartbreaking. You win championships and you go to that track. I'll never forget. There was a big Rockets Avenue, and I ran. I don't know if I ran, but I scurried out to the driveway to pick up the newspaper because I knew. No, I didn't fall down.
Did you stub your foot?
I didn't hurt my foot.
So that you had wearing a boot?
No, there was no curbs there. There was no unusually high curbs there. So I went out to my driveway. I grabbed the newspaper. I went inside, and I opened it up. I couldn't wait to see what the new jersey was going to be. And I saw it, and I was like, what? The realization that it was going to have a shark cartoon or whatever, a rocket face, whatever that cartoon was, the realization that, well, this is in now. This is what it's going to be. It's not like you can bitch and complain and they'll do away with it. This is what it's going to be, at least for a little bit. It was a terrible feeling seeing that uniform.
It wasn't that thing, like, uncomfortable and incredibly heavy or something like that? Like, they didn't design it well? At least that's what Joel, I feel like Joel was telling me something
about
that.
No, if Joel said that, it's probably true. I mean, Joel worked for the Rockets, so it wouldn't shock me if that were the case. I remember the Indiana Pacers were considered FloJo, Florence Griffith Joyner, she was a designer, and she designed the super tight, you know, skin tight tops for, I want to say, the Pacers. And that's really what the league has gone to, more of almost that. Then it has, you know, it used to be everything was kind of baggy. It's a much more fitted now. The uniforms are much more fitted and lighter weight, too. So, yeah, like anything, it's more performance-based now. The equipment is more performance-based. That Rockets. And then you had heavy-legged Charles Barkley in it and older Clyde. And it was just an older team and older uniforms. Hey, let's add Eddie Johnson. He's only 36. Okay. Can we get older? I guess.
Look at Lamont's tweet, and I just retweeted it. He tweeted Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, that was horrific.
In one of those suits, the baggy suits. It's almost. Look at the one where it's the full length.
Yeah, and
he looks
down,
like a little person.
Yeah, it was on. Those suits were unbelievable.
I mean, he looks like a little person.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I mean, how could you, a 6'9 guy, how can you make him look like a little person? Put him in a gigantic suit.
Yeah, that's, golly, why in the world did players ever do that? I mean, I'm not saying I didn't probably have some baggier pants or something, but this is just astonishing how bad this, like, that will never go back in. That will never,
no.
If you brought that to a tailor right now, he'd say, hold on a second. Your seam line for your shoulders is way the frick. Yeah. That's like 4 inches past your actual shoulder.
You never know.
You
it might come back. It might come back. Uh-oh. You never know. Like bell bottoms and you never know.
Nah, this ain't coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. MJ's look.
Of course, I mean the short shorts coming back is pretty staggering.
Yeah, I know, right? Did you think those were coming back?
I thought that would never come back.
I didn't think short shorts could possibly come back.
Yeah.
And that's Generation Z bringing that one back. You can't even put that on millennials. That's Gen Z bringing it back. Like, hold on. Like, whenever I drive to Alex, drive Alex to school or whatever, or, and I see kids his age, and they've got the, maybe a little older than him, and they've got the short shorts and topsider shoes. I said, damn, am I back? Is this, am I back? Am I a sophomore or junior in high school? What the hell is this? This is like what was around when I was a junior in high school, shorter shorts and topsiders. But nope, it's been back.
Been having it. All right, 756 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-37. It's pretty much a holiday show. If you want to get in, whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome here. It's mostly been big suits. But first, let's have some whiskey.
Yeah, it's big suits, and it's getting ready to be alcohol now with Blackland Distillery. So Matt Miller has a lot of people have reached out. We're going to start giving away for our guests on the podcast I'm doing, on the Off Script podcast. Marcus said, hey, why don't you give away a spirit to whoever comes on as a guest? We'll give them, we'll ship off a bottle of Blackland Distillery to them. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So Lance McCullers is in for bourbon, and rye is going to be what Michael Kelly is having. And it's, I know Matt Miller, who does a big podcast, Stick to Football with Bleacher Report. He can't wait to get his hands on some bourbon. He goes, I can't wait to try Texas bourbon. And that's what it is. It's distilled right here in Texas. It's not farmed out and the label is put on here. It's distilled in Texas. And that goes for their rye, their bourbon, their gin, their vodka. The processes they use are so advanced that you get a distinctly original flavor profile from every single bottle you open, with incredible packaging. It looks unbelievable. You're going to want to hang on to the bottle when you're finished with it. Try it for yourself. Make sure that you call ahead to your liquor store and make sure they have Blackland Distillery so that you can taste the spirits distilled right here in Texas that are taking over the state. Blackland Distillery.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.